Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 y'all, that is right. This is another episode of Inside the Octagon. Yours truly, I am Kalani Lua. Thank you guys for tuning in. This show, Inside the Octagon, is brought to you, as always, by the Sports Career Podcast, which you guys can listen to every Thursday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That is the Sports Career Podcast, Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you guys are listening out there and you want to call in, please dial 718-506-1506. That is 718-506-1506. Call in, give me your gripes, complaints, ideas, opinions, whatever it is that you want to get off your chest in the world of MMA. I am with you for the next 90 minutes. Look, let's start things off in the right way. Today's show, there is a planned guest, but that is still up in the air right now. So we will keep moving on until we get information. Now, before we get into like the world of MMA, as far as what's going on inside, let's talk about something that's going on outside. It happened this past weekend at the Golden Globes when one of the most prestigious actors in Meryl Streep decided to put the world of MMA on blast. During her lifetime achievement speech, she did mention, obviously, it was very, very heavy on criticizing Donald Trump being our president-elect. But she did end up pointing out that if you were to get rid of all the international talent that we have in Hollywood, if we were to get rid of them, we would no longer have anything to watch besides football and martial arts, and those are not the arts. And I tell you real quick, full disclaimer, if you guys can hear that sound in the background, I do apologize, but I have some problems in my restroom, latrine, laboratory, whatever you just call it. I'm having some issues there that will be taken care of tomorrow morning. So bear with me, please, if you guys try to get to a place in where it wouldn't be in the background. This is as far away as I can get it right now. So again, if you do hear it throughout the show, I do apologize. But back to Meryl Streep, you know, she takes the jab at MMA world during speech. And I just want to say, look, I'm not concerned about it because celebrities with their opinions, political, not, you know, that's their right. That's what they choose to have. That's how they feel. And okay, cool. You know, mixed martial arts is not for everyone. It's not. But I will say this. I do find interesting her comments because if you actually look at mixed martial arts, being a mixed martial arts fighter and being an actor have so many similarities. And let me break it down for you if I will. Starting off, you generally have to have some form of training. You can't just jump into both realms of acting or fighting without any proper training. When you do that, you generally want to pick a good school to start. I'm sure you can start somewhere small, or you can start from somewhere that doesn't have necessarily the same name recognition or the same resume as a more prestigious camps or studios, schools, or whatever, but you generally want to get a good foundation, and you're going to start out small. You know, nobody's going to jump to being the leading role in Avatar 2 the first round. You generally are going to have to start out small. Same thing for the UFC. For the most part, there are exceptions, but they are very few and far between in cases. from there, when you start out small, you have to be successful. You don't necessarily have to always win in a spectacular fashion, although it does help, but you do want to show signs of there's something there. This person has something to offer. You also are not going to be getting paid a whole lot right when you start off. You're going to be scrapping. You're going to be struggling. And that's just the way that it is. You have to commit yourself to it. You have to be disciplined enough to say, I have to make these sacrifices in not just my training, but in my personal life so that one day, hopefully, I reap the benefits later. You also have to go after the fact that, hey, you know what? Let me take a quick bus to say that yes, today's guest will be confirmed. We'll be Jessica Ruiz later on in the show. She's an amateur MMA fighter out of the great state of New York. She'll be joining us later on. So look forward to that interview when it comes for sure. Where was I? Okay. So yeah, you have to be successful. And then as you start doing more and more shows or movies or commercials or fights, then have to start looking and saying, okay, I have to pick the right roles, the right situations where I can shine the best. Not necessarily picking to avoid the tougher road, but I want to make sure that because I am young in this sport and I am young in this world, I don't want to get in way over my head just yet. People can handle it. Again, there are exceptions, but those are few and far between. And then my ultimate goal is to reach the big stage, to reach, you know, Hollywood, the big motion picture, the big movie deals, working with famous writers and directors and producers, studios, just like I want to make it to the UFC, where I logo and I get the pants and I get to be on, I get the gloves and I get those and I get Joe Rogan talking about me, and yeah, I'm here at the big show. And then when you do get that chance, you have to make something of it. You have to be successful at it. Again, you don't necessarily have to always win. It helps, sure, but you do have to show signs that, again, there is something there. Because once you get to the big stage, everyone's going to be suspect of you. Everyone's going to look at you and say, well, what do you have to offer? Why should I be invested in you? What about you is going to draw me to make sure no matter what, when I see your name on the ballot, I am going to say, gotta watch it. Must is it. So you do have to have a special gift, a talent, something that stands out about you. In doing so, you also have to make sure that you don't bite off more than you can chew. We've seen this in acting fighters. How do you handle success? Handle failure. It can really determine how your career will turn from there. When you win, how do you handle yourself? How do you handle yourself? When you lose, what happens to you? Do you flip, go into a dark, I got to get back on that horse again. I got to go back out and correct my wrong. It's really all up to you. So when you look at it, the world being an actor or a mixed martial artist, very, very similar. You're constantly always growing, always learning, always evolving, always trying things, okay? Because if you don't, that next wave of young actors, that next wave of young fighters, they're going to roll right past you. The next thing you know, you go from being a champion or the star of a show or a movie, now you're a real star. Now you're the third, fourth name on the ballot. Now your name is, and so-and-so. Now you're on the premium cards. Then you're on Fight Pass. The next thing you know, you're trying to do a TV show to revive your career. Keep them checks coming in. So, again, I do understand that maybe it's not a sport for everyone, mixed martial arts. It's not for everyone. I completely understand that. But I also understand, especially acting, it takes so much dedication and hard work and sacrifice and motivation and determination, self-will, a lot of luck, and really timing. You know, if you're in the right place of time, it would do wonders for you. So though I do understand Earl Street's complaint, or not even complain. I do understand her real as a sport. Hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm still going to watch her movies. You should too. She's one of the actors, not just actresses, but actors in the world. So I would recommend, hey, you know, it is what it is. And then here's the thing, real quick. And I'm like, I'm bumbling over here, but or mumbling. You get what I'm trying to say. But I'm getting a little sidetracked here because, like I said, our guest Jessica Ruiz on. I just wanted to let her know. I just wanted to confirm it with her while I'm sitting here with you guys. So again, I do apologize for that. But I do want to just say this. One thing you have to understand is you have to be able to take criticism. In today's society and world, we don't take criticism too well. And you know, when she made this comment, the MMA just went into a hissy fit. Just like, I can't believe it. Mostly doesn't understand. She doesn't know the art. And it isn't as bad and blah, 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 blah. Look, this is for all that, okay? Because just like everything else, look, every person can love every movie that was considered the best movie of the year or the best movie of all time. If I was to sit here and ask you guys that are listening out there, hey, best movie of all time, I'm not going to get all of you to agree on the same one. Fucking people and put you all in the room and said, give me the best of these 10 things, the best restaurant, the best color, the best city to live in, best country to visit, etc., etc. You're not all going to be with it. So, yeah, it's not always a thing. You have to be able to take people not accepting what you're into. You have to be willing to take that. It just comes with the territory. But, you know, I do find it interesting that, you know, Meryl Streep, you know, as far out there as she was with her comment, she at least knows about the sport, let you know we're doing right. Right, guys? Again, this is Inside the Octagon. I'm Yanni Lua. This show is brought to you by the Sports Career Podcast, which you guys can listen to every day between 6 and 8 p.m. Pacific time. You guys can go ahead and call in if you listen out there at 718-506-1506. That's 718-506-1506. Another thing I wanted to bring up as I'm my transition from Meryl Streep, I want to talk about something that also came up, was UFC 7 ended 2016, and the pay-per-view numbers are in, and it's looking pretty good, not too shabby, over 1 million pay-per-view buys. And last I looked, and again, the numbers could be now, last I looked was around the $1.2 million buys. That is huge. That is amazing for a mixed martial arts to get, what is the goal? I think 700,000. That's good. To get 1 million, that's great. Especially a sport that is still, you know, remember, the sport's only 23 years old. So that's amazing in itself right there. For Ronda Rousey's return in a title fight, opening event with a title fight on there, the last show of the year on a Friday. No media hype the week of the fight. No promos about the champion Nunes. For this to break 1 million, pretty damn amazing. Now, I don't want to sit here and throw shade on the man, but kind of have to, speaking the truth. You had to imagine that whenever I was going to come back, whether it was December 30th on a Friday, January 15th on a Sunday, March, whatever, it was going to be a big fight. It was going to be big numbers because everyone wants to see her. She attracts not only the hardcore fans, but casuals as well. She attracts everyone to come see her. So you just had to imagine that when she came back, media or not, and that was the big question, with her doing the media blackout leading up to the fight, will that affect the numbers? With the fight being on a Friday instead of its usual Saturday, will that affect the numbers? It being wedged in between the holidays, New Year's Eve being the next day, was why I moved it from Saturday to Friday. They didn't want to compete with New Year's Eve. Smart move. Week after Christmas, New Year's Eve right next door. How's it going to do? It did pretty damn good. It said a right attendance at the team arena, which I was there live. Awesome. And now it does a pretty damn good showing on the pay-per-view buys. Now, this isn't to deter from the success. You know, if you win a medal in the Olympics, it's not to sit here and say win gold or you didn't win this many gold medals. It's not to say that. You win a gold medal, you win a gold medal. It's not my fault. Swimming has, you know, 20 events that you can make. Track and field has, you know, 4, and fencing has. It's not my fault. Not my fault. My sport doesn't have more. But you look at Rousey. She makes the 1 million mark. You know who else made a million mark this year? Conor McGregor. 3 different times. 3 different times. So, you know, Dana White used this along with her other two. In Ronda Rousey's career, she only cracked $1 million buy rate. Million buy rate 3 different times. Her fight against Becca 2 years ago in Brazil, Australia against Holly Holm, which she lost, and then this current one. And that's 3 times in her career. Conor McGregor did it 3 times this year. Now, granted, Ronda hasn't been on these other networks yet. At the time that he was on them, McGregor had the highest Fight Pass viewership for his fight there, the box card draw when he was on flick on Dennis Seaver in 2015. Again, that was at the time. But, you know, Dana, we use this right here, her 3rd million buy rate, and say, well, she's got the record for T-Mobile Arena. She's got the record for pay-per-view buys. She's our big bar none. Not even close. What about that one, buddy? I don't know about that one. You got an Irish fellow over there. Ooh, he's certainly showing you. You want to check them numbers again, please? Thank you very much. So, you know, I mean, it is in that sense. We'll see how it goes going forward between the two. As far as what's this all going to play out with Rousey because she loses, the question is, can Rousey still be a big draw despite 2 brutal losses? Again, remember, she lost to Holly Holm. You know, she was a champion going in undefeated. It was in Australia. 2 title fights on it because Joanna Jędrzejczyk was on the co-main event defending her title. So there's that. And then this one, 2 title card, her return after a year, big numbers. But now that she's lost 2 in a row, she's not getting another fight anytime soon unless she changes weight classes. But you do have to wonder if Ronda Rousey comes back, which I'll get into that in a little bit, can she still be a big draw? Will losses, especially the weight she lost, will they deter her frame from tuning in and watching? I don't think so. Because one thing I do believe is that there is a certain draw and appeal to certain fans, or certain people, rather, to where unless they gather a string of 4, 5, 6 performances or lost, it is fans are still going to watch. Think about this. Favorite actor, whoever it is, right? Whoever it could be. Or just think of someone you really enjoyed. Or when you see him in a film, you're going to go see it, right? Just whoever, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Meryl Streep, Will Ferrell, Denzel Washington, whoever, Dwayne Johnson, whoever it is, right? Think about it. How many bad films do they have to be in before saying, I can't watch the movies anymore? I mean, some people criticize an actor like Robert De Niro, who as he's gotten older, his select films have gone from, you know, those high drama, really intense, a lot of emotional acting and dialogue. Now he's doing things like The Fockers, Grandpa, and other movies to where, you know, it's a little more dialed down. You know, he still does his dramas. But I guess you could say expanding his range, or he's doing films that he can do early on in his career when he really built up this reputation as one of the great actors of all time. Some people don't like it. I personally don't have a problem. I feel that his resume speaks for himself. And now he's at the point where I don't need to be specific, or I don't need to be greedy, or or whatever in my movie selection, I could just go out there and just say, hey, I do this type of film. I want a comedy. I want to do a horror. I want to do an action. So that's what I'm going to do. Same with an athlete. Think of who your favorite boxer or think of who your favorite fighter is. How many losses do they need to take before you reel it in? Look at someone like Mike Tyson. Even though he was suffering some losses, people still tune in and watch. Roy Jones kind of burnt up his bridges, but I think more so it's because Roy never reached his max potential with star power that he really could have during his heyday. I think he missed the boat a little bit on that. So you look at someone like Ronda Rousey, you know, two losses in a row, I think that's going to hurt fans tuning in and watch her. The two losses she does have, the way she took them, you do have to wonder, gosh, do people still want to see this? And I will say this. I'm always going to watch because, you know, I'm a junkie head. I'm an anime head, okay? I can't get enough of this. Ronda, her big appeal is the, how can I word this? I'm not trying to, you know, use my Harvard education. Disclaimer. No, don't got a Harvard education. So I came to Harvard, was watching movies like Good Will Hunting and Harvard Yale, that 30 for 30 documentary. It's as close as I ever got to it. But the big appeal about Ronda Rousey is this. That, you know, she was hyped up as this womander. That sounds horrible given, you know, what that was generally for. But she was supposed to be like the woman's, she was a She-Hulk. She was the woman superhero, and she had a move, you know, throw with the armbar that was just undeniable, dominating her opponents. Look, you know, how the attitude, how she walked to the ring so intensely, her brash, cocky attitude, her arrogance when she was champion in interviews and promos. It just moves charisma off to you. But now that she's lost, you got to wonder, would she have that same charisma? Will she have that same look in her eye, that same attitude, the same pep in her walk? Don't know. See, it's hard to know because she did a media blackout for 207. So now you go forward and you say, well, she's not going to be able to do another media out. And given that she being a title fight, can we just, unless it's a super fight, which we know she's not going to be taking on Cyborg anytime soon for different reasons, but more specifically, given how this all played out, you do have to wonder, what's her next move? Is she going to be the main event? Is she going to be the third fighter on her, you know, maybe two titles in the main, co-main event? She's the fight right before the title matches? Maybe you put her on Fox, get those big ratings up? Maybe. I don't think they'll do that because of the pay-per-view she brings in. Definitely don't want to put her on Fox, but you never know. Fox will want to have her on there so that they can get those huge ratings numbers. Maybe it's possible. But with Ronda Rousey, you know, above all, besides appeal, besides, you know, the masses tuning in, I truly believe she needs to get back in the cage if she wants to be remembered for her greatness as a fighter. But one thing is this. It's one thing if you're a fighter and you get old and Father Time catches up to you and you just can't eat no more. That is one thing. We totally understand that. It'll be just like, I can't really use your sports, but it's just like a boxer, right? We understood that when Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, Roy Jones, Bernard Hopkins most recently, Dave Hoya, Sugar Ray Leonard, et cetera, we understood that when they were getting their beatings and their losses the way that they did, it was at the end of the career. It wasn't their prime anymore. Ronda Rousey's still in her prime. 30 years old, or 29, about to be 30 years old, still in her prime. And just like all the other fighters, outside of Mike Tyson, those guys didn't lose. Rousey did. I mean, she literally had two losses where she got destroyed and dominated. It's a bad taste in everyone's mouth. So the idea of her going to Hollywood to do movies or her possibly going into the world of professional wrestling with the WWE, yeah, they're all still there on the table because she's still young. She's still attractive. She's still got charisma. She still has a fan base. But is Hollywood or WWE really going to want her after these two losses? Are they really going to want her after she can't take the criticism or the question from the media? Those two things, you have to take questions. You have to do. There, you know, you're not a big enough star to say, "Well, I'm not promoting the film. Well, I'm not doing a promo for pro wrestling. Well, I'm not out here." So your fans have to say, "No, no, 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 no." So yeah, if Ronda Rousey wants to be remembered amongst one of the greats, because right now she is looked at as one of the greatest female fighters of all time, right? That is true. But if you look at how she lost, you look at her limited skill set, and you look at how female fighters are evolving and growing numbers day in and day out, you got to imagine that if she would never fight again, and if she was not to be involved with the UFC as a commentator, analyst, or whatever, you got to realize in like 10, 20 years, people are going to look back and say, this is who the champion was? This is who dominated? What? This is supposed to be your great fighter? See, there's a difference if you look at someone like Hoyce Gracie when he won the UFC back in the early 90s. See, it was circumstances. No hold bar, no gloves, no time limit, no weight classes. And he's out there feeding guys 2-3 times his size with jiu-jitsu. Introduced the world to it. In his prime, he never lost in the UFC. His loss didn't come later until he come back in the 2000s against Matt Hughes, which was just a mismatch given the age and the overall skill set. And by that time, again, because of age, Gracie, that is, but his legacy was already set and secured because of his prime. He went out there and took on all comers and challengers and was successful. Whereas Ronda, yeah, she's been successful. But if you look at it, not having a good stand-up. I mean, a very, very lesser stand-up. She's got the arm bar, but no other submissions on the ground. Outside of her judo throw, she's not taking girls down to the ground with single or double legs. And she can't take a punch. And her two lower, she gets destroyed and brutally knocked out. Yeah, it's been to where, as time goes on and females get better and better, which we're seeing right now, it's going to be looked at as, how is this your? How is this someone who dominated the sport and should be forgotten? I know that's very hard to listen to right now and to picture it, but just think back to in boxing or think. Okay. Think about this. All right, quarterbacks who won a Super Records—they're not mentioned. Like quarterbacks, Dan Marino. There's times where people leave him off the quarterback list because he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. Yet he's, at least he had before Brett Favre and Peyton Manning came along and Drew Brees and Brady, and also the quarterback records. Because he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, doesn't get mentioned as much. Steve Young, a great, great quarterback. Only technically, you know, he has multiple rings, but there was one ring where he was a star quarterback. But outside of rushing quarterbacks, he doesn't get mentioned. Great quarterbacks as well. So, you know, we could get more into that as well later on. Yeah, I just think that if Ronda doesn't come back, which she needs to, she's going to be forgotten about. And it really would speak volumes to her as a character, as a fighter, as she took these losses and couldn't come back. I've got to look at someone like Conor McGregor for all the shit talking he does. When he took his loss against Nate Diaz, he wanted that rematch right back then and there. Let's run it back. I'm ready to go same weight class, same opponent. Let's go. Because I want to right the wrongs. If Ronda Rousey isn't willing to do that, it's going to see her being remembered as this world beater like she is now. Her legacy right now won't be the same in 10 years if she never comes back into the UFC. So let me go ahead and try to be in our guest here, Jessica Ruiz. Just give me a moment here as I do type in her information one quick time. Okay, what is going on, guys? There you go. Hold on one quick second. Hopefully I did this right. And we should in the ring here pretty soon. Oh, there we go. Hopefully she answers.
Bye. Hello?
Hey, Jessica Ruiz, how's it going?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Everybody, like I said, we have Jessica Ruiz on the phone on Inside the Octagon here. And Jessica, I wanted to get right into it because, you know, I know the time difference of where you're at right now. You know, it's late. And you've had a lot of real quick, what got you into wanting to got you into wanting to fight? I mean, a lot of people grew up playing softball, basketball, soccer. Hey, that's what I want to do. Not many people grow up wanting to be a fighter. What got you into the world of saying, I'll punch people in the face?
Well, for one, I'm not that young. I'm not as young as the other fighters. I'm 32 years old. I have 4 kids. I'm married. I've always, since I was really young, I was always very rough. I was never into playing sports in a team because I was never like a team player. I was just too rough, and I was always fighting. So I grew up in Cypress Hills, you know, border of Queens and Brooklyn, and there was a lot of gangs at that time, and well, I was just always fighting. So you know, I was never like a bad girl. I never did anything really wrong. I was just, you know, you just have to fight sometimes, and that's what I did. So my experience comes from the streets, I guess, you know, you could say. But, I mean, looking at me, people are like, oh, my God, you're such a girly girl. Like, you know, how do you fight, you know? I love it with a passion. You know, I just always imagine myself and picture myself being a fighter since I was younger. So I figured my parents didn't let me do it when I was younger. You know, I was in my culture, it's not, you know, you got to be a lady, so you're not supposed to fight or do anything like that. I grew up with 2 older brothers that were always fight with me, always hit me and stuff like that. And, you know, I guess I developed my toughness from them. And now, since I'm on my own, I'm grown. I figured, you know, I want to fight, and I don't want to waste my life doing something I'm not happy doing.
Now, that's amazing. I don't know if on your yes, hello. Can you hear us?
Yes, you're breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me?
Just a little bit.
Hi, can you hear me?
If it's the location you're in, yes, I can. But you are breaking up a little. I don't know if it's the location you're in or not. I am on my end here. But I just want to let you be aware of that. But for some reason, a mother, not a young, fresh out of college.
I'm sorry,
Jessica,
you're breaking up. You're breaking up. Hello?
I am trying to clear it up on my
end. I can't really hear you because you're breaking up. Hello?
Yes, hello, Jessica. Can you hear?
I can hear you now.
Like you said, I am trying to wind up the board and then clear up the static, and so I do apologize for the static. Jessica, your story does. I do want to ask, being a mother of 4 and leading a life of a huge family right out the gate, how is it? What are the struggles been like for you to juggle being a wife, a mother, and a fighter? What's the struggle?
I couldn't hear. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I could hear you a little bit, but not that. I couldn't hear the end.
Jessica, if you can hear me, I'm gonna try hanging up and I'm gonna try calling you right back to see if I can clear this up again. I do apologize.
Sure, no problem. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. Again, sorry about that, everybody. Sometimes with technology, things just don't work. Again, I apologize. You know, I'm here in, you know, the Sirius XM studio, anything like that. So again, I do get back on. How awesome is that? While I'm dialing her up, how awesome is that to know that at 32 years old, with you're saying, you know what? I'm going to be a fighter. I'm going to go out there and punch people. How if you guys would just give me 3 seconds, I am going to try to make this phone call. So just give me a moment. All right, again, guys, sounds like amateur hour, but you're on a clearer line.
Hello?
Yes, hello, Jess. Can you hear me more clear?
Yeah, I can hear you a little more clear, yes.
Okay, I do apologize. I will try to be as clear talking as I can.
Sure.
What has it been like being a mother of four and being a fighter? Obviously, a lot of dedication goes into both. What has the struggles been like you to manage both?
So I am a wife, I'm a mom of four, and I also work full time.
Wow.
I work a 9-to-5 job as a paralegal. So, I mean, there's a lot of that goes into it too. My husband also works full time and goes to law school full time. So it's we're just a busy, busy family. I'm the type of person that has to work out a lot to be calm, I guess. So I work out in the morning. Sometimes I wake up at 5. I go to the gym like around 5:30 for weightlifting, then go back at night for training. I train like 6 days a week. I take one day off. I mean, I juggle everything because of just how my personality is. But I constantly have to do something all the time. I'm not a lazy person. I clean my house every night, like spotless. So I think I'm always moving around and, it's a struggle, but it's well worth it. I don't complain. You know, I love what I do. So.
And that's totally admirable right there. Just from hearing what you're saying, it's a lot of what you got. It fits with your seems like always trying to be busy. With four kids, would you say if one of them said, "Mom, I want to be a fighter as well," would you be for it? Or knowing that lifestyle, would you say, let's try to hit the books first, son?
Because of what I went through, growing up and not really being heard or wanting, no one paid attention to what I wanted to do, So, I just want my kids to be happy, whatever it is that they want to do, I'm always going to support them no matter what, as long as they're not doing anything wrong, they're always going to have my support. Being a fighter, it's scary, sure, I know what it's about now, and I'm sure I'm going to be afraid, when they get into the ring and stuff like that, but it is what it is, I can't really deter them from doing something else. I just feel like they're going to do what they want to do, and I have to kind of support them. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I wouldn't want them to do something that I want them to do. It's not right. So, yeah, it's fine.
Totally understand.
It's fine with me.
Totally understand. Totally understandable. I know, like in football, you get a lot of football players saying, even though I love what I do, I wouldn't want my kid to do it because of the danger. So it is refreshing to hear. I say, hey, if this is what I want to do one day, they'll have my full support. Maybe unlike you're saying, hey, I won't be like that. I'll be there for my kids to support them. Jessica, with mixed martial arts being passed in the state of New York, obviously the UFC having 205 there, what's the feeling like? I'm just doing this, and then we have to travel to Philadelphia or New Jersey. No, we're right here in our backyard, and we have events now. Has the excitement grown more in New York since the martial arts law got passed there?
Yeah, you see UFC gyms all over the place now. I don't go to a UFC gym, but, you see them all over the place. Everybody knows about UFC. Everyone knows about mixed martial arts now. Everybody, I'm still the only girl in the class, but you still see – like girls come in and try it and people just come in and try it because they're curious.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it takes a lot of guts to get into the ring, I'll tell you that. Not everybody that comes to training goes into the ring, you know.
Definitely.
It definitely is a curiosity for people as to why people want to fight, you know, why. Everybody knows about mixed martial arts, and everybody is now a fan, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know the fastest growing sport in the world. I know with the laws being passed there now, you definitely more interest from the Northeast there. So I can't wait for shows. I know the UFC has a UFC card in Brooklyn showing up at the Barclays Center. I wanted to add, as you said, not many people who train want to get into the ring or the cage. Walk us through your mindset and your mentality when you made your first walk to that cage competition in a fight, because you know, as you said, it can be scary for some people, even for professionals who've been doing it for many, many years. What's your mind walking down that aisle, going into the cage, preparing to do battle with the demon standing across from you?
Well, the first time I fought, you know, now I fight girls that are way more, that have been training for years, number one. So, you know, I know what I'm going up against. You know, I've only been training for a year, year and a half. I've had like I have six fights. I have another one coming up next week. I won. I lost once, and I won the other ones. But the first time I remember, you know, I didn't want to get excited. I didn't want to get anxious. I didn't want to get nervous. So my first time was like, I didn't want to think about her. I didn't want to think about anything, again, because every girl that I fight is more experienced than I am. I didn't want to think about them. My mentality was, let me focus just on training. You know, I train hard, train as much as I can. And then once I know that it's fight night, you know, I'm going to fight. I still don't think about it. I still remain calm. I was still very calm. And I remember like all of my teammates, you know, my coaches, there was like about three of them or four of them in there with me. And they were like, you know, are you okay? Are you, you know, how you feel or this and that? I just remember putting my headphones on and my sunglasses and not wanting to interact with anybody. And I didn't want any negative energy, so that's why I didn't want to interact with anybody. I felt like they were more afraid for me than I was, you know, and I just didn't want that to rub on me. So I kept to myself, and I was very calm. I was very, very calm. And when I stepped in the ring, in the cage, I remember, I just remember feeling like this is where I belong, you know? And it was a very beautiful, beautiful moment for me when I stepped in the ring. And I felt like I could finally be myself. And then when she came in, you know, I guess because I was so confident in a way, I guess I kind of felt her. I mean, I guess she was a little bit afraid, I would say. I felt it. But I was calm. I mean, I was calm throughout the whole thing, and because I knew that if I get a little bit anxious or whatever, I would get nervous, and then that would play with my mind. You know, I knew that. So I just try to remain calm. Now it's a different story now when I go into the ring, because now I'm like, all right,
it's a competition.
All right, you know these hits, you know what you're going to get into, you know this person hits hard, you know she kicks hard. So now it's like, all right, you know, I'm kind of like more like, I guess I could say a little nervous sometimes. Sometimes I get excited. Sometimes I get like, you know, there's a lot of emotions now, but I still try to remain calm. But the first time it was just, it was a beautiful moment. It really was. I loved it.
You know, as you said earlier, the psychology of why a person likes to fight, and everyone has reasons, anger, the thrill of competition, testing yourself, whatever it could be. As you just said, walking to the cage, stepping in there, you know, you love the feeling just to go out there and unleash and to let it all out. And I find that always to be amazing, no matter how many times I hear it, because, you know, as humans, we're natural instincts to compete and to fight in one form or another. So to go out there and get yourself the ultimate way, I my hat's off to you and everyone else who does train that way. With your training, Jessica, I do want to ask, obviously I don't want to give up any of your weaknesses here, but what is an area of training that for some reason, you just were able to grab right away. You know, for some people, it was grappling. Others, it was the striking. You know, it was the cardio or the workouts. For you, were you able right away and say, I'm picking up on this faster than everything else? What stood up for you?
I think that since I was younger, since I was a little girl, I've always loved boxing. I've always was a fan of boxing. So I think boxing and using my hands and fighting, you know, outside, you know, just fighting outside, I noticed that I hit hard since I was younger. So boxing for me was something that I picked up, but, you know, I feel like I picked up on everything, you know. I think that the one thing that's kind of challenging for me is the kicking aspect of, you know, kickboxing. It's kicking for me is not the most natural, but it is something that I'm working on, and I feel like I have a lot of potential on, but it's just something that it's just a work in progress, you know what I mean? There are certain kicks that I do that work very well, but I'm not the type of fighter that will throw, you know, the regular roundhouse kicks. You know, the type of fighter that will throw 2-3 really good kicks that no one will expect. But it's you know, but like I said, it's not something that I throw all the time. It's something that I have to set up. So I would say, you know, I use, you know, boxing. Boxing has always been my thing. I have heavy hands. Yeah, I have heavy hands, so I mean, when I hit hard, and but you know, everything's a work in progress. You know, I love grappling too, but I've been working a lot on my stand-up because I've been doing a lot of kickboxing matches. So,
good deal. Well, look, I mean, I would have seen your career going forward. I greatly appreciate you coming on the show. You're actually my first guest on the show, so there's a little tip in your hat for you someday down the road. If it ever comes up. Jessica, go ahead. When do you have a fight coming up that you already have scheduled, or are you waiting a little bit, giving yourself time to recover from the holiday? Are you trying to get right back in there right now? Do you have anything lined up?
Yeah, I actually have a fight next week. Next week. I've been training. I went on vacation for the holidays to Disney, and I found my way to train over there. So, I mean,
right on.
There's no days wasted, you know what I mean? I mean, if there's a pool, I could swim. I could shuttle box to the pool, you know? So, I mean, there was a gym. I went to LA Fitness. You know, I was there like 2-3 times during my vacation, hitting the bag, weightlifting, doing what I had to do, working on my stamina, you know, running. So, I mean, I just want to keep fighting. I mean, after this fight, I want to fight again, you know, maybe the next month or two. So, I mean, it never stops for me. Training never stops because that's what gives me life. That's what makes me, I mean, I look forward to fighting all the time. So, you know, yeah, I have a fight next week. I have a fight next week. So right now I just came back from training. I did training for like 3 hours today, not including my morning training. So, I mean, it's crunch time.
Definitely. I feel sorry for Mickey Goof out over there when you're training while you're at Disney. That might be painful for him to get a picture of you. Before I let you go, going into a fight, the big issue right now that's going around in world's martial arts is weight cutting. When you go into a fight yourself, how many pounds do you give yourself to cut the week of the fight? Or are you one of the fighters that you're generally right around your natural fighting weight anyways, so you don't have to cut much anyways?
Well, I don't cut weight. I actually have to make weight. So I'm always a smaller opponent. So, it's good. I mean, you know, it works good because I don't have to cut weight. I don't have to go through that, you know. I don't have to go through that, so I mean, but then again, I do fight girls that are bigger than me. So
now that is true. You do got to fight the bigger girls, but
yeah,
unlike them, at least you get to a good meal during the week of the fight leading to it. That's us as well. Jessica, again, thank you. I can't thank you enough for coming. I wish you nothing but the best on your fight next week. Hopefully it's a success. And hopefully I get you back on the show again later in the future. Let people know where they can find you at on social media. You can plug your camp, management team, or whatever you got to any plugins or sponsors that you want to give a shout out, go ahead.
Yeah, I train at Team Believe, Alpha Omega Team Believe in Rockville Center, New York. My trainer, his name is Dago Vega. He is champion. He's won all his fights except for one. I mean, this guy is amazing. You know, I'm fighting next week at the Capitale in Manhattan. It's a beautiful, beautiful venue. Jay-Z sings there. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in that venue. And, yeah, that's about it. Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to, I guess, my husband, Penny. And
you can't get the hubby.
My coach. I'm sorry?
I was like, you can't forget the husband. You give
a yeah,
I
mean,
you can't forget the husband.
I forget him enough. I guess I should give a little shout-out.
Well, I'm sure he greatly appreciates it. Nonetheless, Jessica, once again, good luck. You guys be sure, if you're in Manhattan, go ahead and check her out next week. Jessica Ricci is one to be on the lookout for. And if you're in New York, stop by Team Believe and check her and the rest of her coaching and fighters there. Good things coming out of the Northeast for sure. Jessica, once again, thank you and good luck. And look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you so much for your time and thank you for having me on the show. Okay? Good night, guys. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. Thank you. Guys, that's Jessica Ruiz. And look, that's the story she's got. Hell of a story. A mother of four, wife, husband looking to improve his life. She's looking to improve hers, but she loves to compete. And just like with her story, among many, many, many others, you never know what drives a person. You don't know. You come from, you know, a good family, money, and you love to compete. You love to punch people in the face or have them punch you in the face, whatever. You come from some place, you know, from poverty and you didn't have much. You had to fight and strive for everything. And in everything between that, there are tremendous stories for these fighters coming out there, you know. And like she said, you know, she's not a young pup. You know, she's 32 years old. I'm 31. Hey, we're still young, okay? We're still young. We're not as young as we used to be, but we're still young, Jessica. But, you know, she's going out there. And she's giving it a go. And for her, for anybody like her at any age, you got to give them nothing but mad props and respect. Because, yeah, the majority of the people aren't willing to do that. Yeah, we'll go into the gym and we'll train and we'll hit the pads. How many of us are willing to stand across somebody else that wants to punch our faces? How many of us are willing to make that walk down the aisle, get the grease put on our face, into a cage or a ring, and say, I'm here to beat you up. You beat me up. Let's see what happens. Two people answer, one person leaves. So, Jessica Ruiz, one, thank you for being on the show. You guys be sure to check her out. She is one to watch out for. I'm certainly going to be looking online to see if I can watch the event live or catch it afterwards. I definitely want to check it out because she is someone that she's aggressive. She trains hard as shit. You never know. You know, there was a point in time where there was some girl fighting out here in Las Vegas. That's tough enough. Not those men fighter, but tough, T-U-F-F, enough. By the name of Ronda Rousey. People didn't know she would become later on in her career, but you got to start somewhere. So definitely look out for Ruiz going forward in her career. So, and again, for Jessica and for the listeners out there, if it was coming through staticky or breaking up for you, guys, please, please, please do not get the pit out just yet. I do apologize. Again, I was trying to hear it up on mine. I don't know if it was all me or Jessica or just, you know, because I'm using my laptop here. If calling her with the distance, you know, because she's in New York, me being here, maybe my location messed it up. I don't know. Hopefully, in the future, when I have it on, I don't run into that same issue. So, again, if that is the case, I do apologize. Stay. But look, I do want to get into some other news in the world of mixed martial arts that we got going on here. Let me just pull this up one good time. You're here. before Jessica came on, I was talking about Ronda Rousey needing to get back in the cage. And the last thing I'll say about that before moving on is, you know, we're going to have to show that she wasn't just a flash in the pants. That she wasn't just, you know, a lot of people are saying, was she a media creation? To some degree, she was a media creation. Others feel that she wasn't. But there is something said about the attention, headlines from the hype, you know, because she beat Could she beat Velasquez? Could she beat Floyd Mayweather? Could she beat Layla Ali? Et cetera, et cetera. Again, hindsight is always 20/20, but at the time, you know, those were serious thoughts and ideas I had. You know, not to take anything away from her, but she needs to get back in there and give it another go, just like Jessica Ruiz and just like many others. She wants to secure her legacy. Again, I said earlier, the legacy right now is secured, but it is secured for now. Long run, you know, just like, okay, last thing I'll say about this. Think of a movie, comedy, action, whatever, that you early 90s, 80s, 70s, depending on your age, and just think how much you enjoyed it in, right? You ever try watching it again? Not all of those you remember being funny or as action-packed or as scared before are as good now. They didn't age well with time. You know, the comedy, you know, some comedies, they're still good. You look at a movie like America, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, along with any others. I don't want to, you know, leave any out, but I can't name all of them right now. That's just too long list. Some withstood the test of time. Others, for instance, that, you know, because the jokes were more so for that time period, for that type of humor that was in society at the time, they just didn't age well. So it's the same thing with Ronda Rousey. Right now, she is, you know, up there on much more. As time goes on, if she doesn't come back, she's most likely going to get knocked off that Mount Rushmore, and she's going further down. So, excuse me. So it is there. Now, that was Ronda Rousey. Across from Ronda Rousey, and who is the reigning champion, UFC champion Amanda Nunes, what you have to say about her is, not only does she have the skill set, but here's something else. She headlined two of the biggest pay-per-views of 2016. That is UFC 200 and UFC 207. Now, she won the title at UFC 200 from Miesha Tate. Ended up becoming the main event on very short notice because of what happened. John Jones failed test. Got it. And because it was a title fight, they couldn't just put Brock Lesnar as the main event, so they put Nunes Tate there. Okay? Still in all, she headlined it. That cracked the million pay-per-view buys. Then she headlined 207. Obviously, it was Ronda Rousey driven, and it was the last one of the year. God, she still headlined it. So she has been co-star for two of the biggest fights last year, two of the biggest cards. And she did it against the two most popular female fighters in that division's history so far. Again, still very young, but and it is that division. For those of you who might say, well, what about Cyborg or Gino? That was at 145. That was a featherweight, not bantamweight. One of these women's are at. Keep up, people. So with Amanda Nunes being the headline of two of the biggest cards last year, with her skill set, the power in her punches, my beautiful smile, the fact that she does speak English when she gives interviews, it may not always be the most perfect, clear sounding English, but I mean, are we going to be that nitpicky? The fact that she has a tremendous story, first open gay champion in UFC history. She comes from a great camp, comes from a fight capital like Brazil, slapping her gym in Brazil because she just couldn't, you know, trying to be a fighter and trying to go forward with her career. You know, it was a struggle. So she's got a tremendous, tremendous story. And you got to wonder if the UFC will build her up from here going forward. I only think that they have a star in the making with her. And I definitely feel that her two performances against Miesha Tate and Ronda Rousey, she is deserving, not just because she's the champion, but her performances, her personality, her own charisma, and the way she carries herself, it deserves nothing less than the front seat of every single time she's stepping out there. So I look forward to seeing what the UFC does to her going forward. And I look forward to Nunes stepping that cage once again, defend her title for a second time, whenever it may be. Obviously, we have a fight coming up later this month. Valentina Shevchenko, who Nunes early last year by decision against Juliana Pena, number one, number two ranked females in the division. Obviously, the winner most likely, unless something crazy happens, which it probably won't, but you never know with these. The winner of that will probably be the challenger for Amanda Nunes going forward. So that's going to be an interesting one to check out there. Real quick, some news broken today that UFC 209, which takes place later on this year right here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, gets a title on his card. Now, I don't want to say it's the main event because you never know what else they might try to put on there. There might be another title fight that takes over as the main event. But right now, the main event would be Stephen Thompson challenging the champion, the welterweight champion, Tyrone Woodley, as they will be set to a rematch of the UFC 205 majority draw decision. It's been confirmed. Woodley and Dana White both confirmed earlier. Woodley, after his Thompson fight, even before that, he was trying to look money fights. He was trying to look for the big names, guys such as Conor McGregor, Nick Diaz, George St. Pierre. As early as last week, he even had a confrontation with Michael Bisping, the UFC middleweight champion, saying that, hey, what about a catchweight fight at 180? Woodley wants those big fights. And I don't blame him for it, but one thing Woodley and every other fighter out there has to understand, both in mixed martial arts and in boxing, you can't say, I want the big money fight. You have to go out there and deliver the numbers. I was watching this video earlier at UFC 190. What's the one that Ronda Rousey lost to? 193, where she fought Holly Holm. She was still the champion, and they were doing a press conference, and somebody asked her about her pay and why the women aren't getting paid as much as some of the men. And she said, well, I feel that, you know, I'm getting paid big because I bring in big numbers. So if you want the big thing, you have the UFC season, why they're going to pay you so big, because your return is going to justify your check. You have to bring in the pay-per-view numbers, the bigness. You have to bring in the interest from fans to justify the UFC giving you those big fights and those big paydays. So for someone like Tyrone Woodley, tremendous skill set, very good fighter, but is he a mass appealing fighter? We don't know yet, because outside of his title challenge against Rufus Lawler for the title last year, he hasn't headlined a major pay-per-view. So we got to see how he does alone on himself. He can draw on the numbers for people to tune in. Hey, the more he can use that going forward. But instead of for these big days, how about you go out there and you prove it by beating your opponent? And Steve Thompson, who he went to a draw with, it was a very good fight the first time around. Will the rematch just as good? Probably not. History has shown us no, but we saw with McGuire last year that they certainly lived and exceeded expectations from their first encounter. So who knows? Lee Thompson, they could definitely do it. Before we get to UFC 209 this Sunday, yes, again on a Sunday, UFC Fight Night will be coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. It will be welcoming back a legend, a pioneer, a Hall of Famer in BJ Penn, as he faces up-and-comer Yari Rodriguez. And this is an interesting one, because BJ Penn last fought in the UFC in 2014, technically 3 years ago, you know. So he's coming in 2 years later, you know, 3 years later now, 2.5 years later. But when he ended his run in the UFC back in 2014, he finished with a 1-5-1 record, not good at all, and losing his last, I believe, two or three, four. So, yeah, his last win came in 2010. Ugh, that's not good at all. Yeah, he ended his UFC career, 0-3-1, a draw against John Fitch in 2011, and losses to Nick Diaz, Roy McDonald at welterweight. And then a KO draw, TKO loss to Frankie Edgar in his one and only fight at featherweight. Now, this fight will be at featherweight again. You know, BJ Penn wants to come back, but he's 30 years old. And, you know, you just got to wonder, excuse me, has Father Time fought with BJ? Aren't BJ coming back? Because he never really suffered major injury. Wasn't a all-out war with Nick Diaz. McDonald did a number, but he never really suffered like really bad, brutal injury. Some bad bruising on the face, sure, after a fight, but nothing, you know, nothing that was reported. I don't recall, you know, like a broken jaw or a fractured jaw or concussions. I don't recall any of those reports could happen, and they just kept the secret, sure. But I don't recall anything like that. But I do also got to wonder, is this the right opponent for him? Is Yari Rodriguez the right opponent? You know, it's kind of like, kind of like when CM Punk made his debut. And I'm not trying to compare CM Punk to BJ Penn. What I'm trying to compare is you're taking CM Punk with little amount of experience in the game. His age, late 30s. And you're putting him up against 24-year-old brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu who is 2-0. Now, granted, that's not fair, but the brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which Punk was a belt, he's younger, he's stronger, he's quicker, he's faster. And we saw what it is. Now, again, BJ is a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the hardest hitters in mixed martial arts. Yes, this man who dominated at 55 is one of the hardest hitters in mixed martial arts. He's heavy-handed, tremendous durability, very flexible, so that he made Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu just that much better. Totally different as far as the appearance factor. But at his age and being away from the sport this long, he's on a young up-and-comer in Rodriguez, who you just wonder, and maybe he would come back and have a nice little run. But good gosh, is it the right guy to head against? Or is it just setting up the old timer to be eaten up by one of the young wolves? I mean, we're going to find out. But I do ask this. It may not be the most popular opinion, and I'm sitting here giving all the great BJ Penn, rightfully so. But I do ask this question. Where do we BJ Penn as far as all time greats? And you guys could chime in on Twitter at KLua11. KLU11. Let me know your input. I'll post it there on my wall as well. But let me know what you guys think. Where did BJ Penn for all time ranking? And I ask that because if you look at his record, he's 16-10. Now, I mean, that's not great, right? I mean, six awesome, but 10 losses, you know, six games, six wins above 500. Randy Couture doesn't have the best win loss record, but we're not talking about Randy right now. What's up, so if you guys want to do that question, we can. But he does have seven losses by decision, three by knockout finishes. TK, you know, he's never been knocked out flush. He's never been like, you know, light shut. No, it's always been TKOs, stoppages. But when you look at BJ's career and you look at the guys he fought, now, full disclaimer, BJ, whether it was his own fault or just his ego or competitive wear getting the better of him, he puts himself against us. And at one point in time when he was supposed to be, you know, the UFC king, the man that was going to be, you know, he was a champion, and, you know, he was supposed to go ahead and be the contract dispute with the UFC, and he left. And he wanted to compete against the best in the world. Well, but at any weight class, I mean, he's got fights where he's fought, obviously, at welterweight in the UFC. He's got fights in at middleweight and at an open bout against Lyoto Machida, who is a former UFC light heavyweight champion. For BJ Penn weighed in at 181 pounds, and Machida was 225. Penn still took that bout and still the distance with Machida there in 2005, three-round war. And he lost that by decision, but still, 190 pounds. A guy who normally fights at 155, you moved up 40, 50 pounds to take somebody at 225, and you went the distance. It just goes to show, man, his heart and his warrior spirit. But, yeah, he's fights at middleweight, welterweight, lightweight, and now, you know, he's down at featherweight. But, again, I have to say, if you look at his overall record, guys that he's beaten in those 16 wins, really hard to pick out who are like some of his great victories over. Now, BJ, and he did it, was a second fighter. Now it's three because of McGregor, but he was a second fighter to two belts in two different weight classes in the UFC, right behind Randy Couture. That's going to be take away from. But let's also put in perspective, when he beat Matt Hughes, who at the time was running through the UFC welterweight division, he beat Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes said countless times in interviews that he looked at it as, while this smaller guy moving up from 155 thinking he could come up here and beat me, that's going to happen. He's going to realize that we're too big for him up here. And Matt got caught. You know, you can say that Matt Hughes kind of underestimated BJ Penn first time around, thinking that this little guy coming up to take me on, right? So, okay, you underestimated him the first time. You know, he's got victories against guys like Dwayne Ludwig, Rodrigo Gracie, Takanero Gomi, Matt Serra, Carl Uno, Dean Thomas. So very good fighters. Very good fighters, okay? But, you know, then when he's back in the UFC, you know, he's got losses against George St. Pierre twice. One of them, he, you know, in the rematch when it was built up as UFC's champion, BJ ended up quitting after the fourth round, you know, just getting beat down in that one. And the whole lead up to that fight, he was saying how George was with her, how George was the front. He can't take the pressure. And ended up being BJ who quit. When he was met the second time with Matt Hughes, obviously wanted to get revenge and to right the wrong that was his loss to BJ, he went out there and beat him down. BJ, I believe, if I remember correctly, I think they just split. BJ won the first two rounds, but then Matt Hughes would take over in the third round and feed him with the beatdown for that. So, excuse me. So, yeah, so there was that. And for the title, Matt Hughes gets from there. And then, you know, back down to lightweight, you know, he does win the title in a match against Joe Stevenson, which he just, you know, Joe Stevenson was a bloody mess. But what do you rank Joe Stevenson? Joe Stevenson is a very good fighter. Dominic Stevenson, a.k.a. Twin Angel, he's got a victory over him as well outside of the UFC. So strong is where Dominic hasn't been at least one shot in the UFC. Hopefully he gets there soon enough. But, you know, then, what, Shark? Another loss to Florian and Diego Sanchez. So, you know, he defended his title four times in four very impressive outings. But Kenny Florian, you know, challenged for titles in different weight classes, never was successful. Never was considered one of, like, the elite guys. Very good grappler, very good analyst, one of the best on the air guy. I'm not going to disrespect him anyway. But Kenny Florian was never looked at the elite fighters. Very fighter, not elite. Same thing with someone like Sean Strick or Joe Stevenson. Never looked at as elite guys. Even though Sean Strick was a former champion, never looked at as one of the elite guys. He held the title for a very short time. You know, he was a guy that would be successful if the matchup called for it. Diego Sanchez, again, a very young fighter, someone who has a lot of heart, but he's never been considered an elite guy. You know, when you look at it, he just was overmatched. But then Frank Yeager comes along, defeats him pretty easily, twice. He did get a knockout victory over Matt Hughes in 2010. Last win in the UFC, by the way. But this is 4 years after Matt Hughes had defeated him. So that means Matt Hughes is 4 years older. They're both 4 years older. But this was at the end of Matt Hughes' career when he made his welterweight debut. Nick Diaz, Roy McDonald put a beatdown at welterweight. He moved down now from 170-145 to take on Frankie Edgar. 2 years after the Roy McDonald loss in 2014, and then he loses that TKO, and then he walks away. Now, we'll see how he does with Yari Rodriguez, but again, I do have to ask, where do we pay pin as far as all-time greats? Yes, he won two titles in two different weight classes, but you know what? Eli Manning has won two Super Bowls. Do we look at him as an elite quarterback? Has been in the NFL since 2004. Has there ever been a season that ended and we looked at Eli as one of the elite quarterbacks? Every year, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, some years you throw in to Romo maybe, there's you going to Stafford or a Matt Ryan at times. Eli's never been considered an elite quarterback. And always been questioned about, should we get rid of Eli? But he's won two Super Bowls. So, again, I'm not trying to take anything away from the prodigy. He is a pioneer. He is a legend. He is a Hall of Famer. That is true. But you know what? So is Hunter. He's a Hall of Famer as well. Are we going to sit here and hear greats? No. So, for BJ Penn, again, I'm not trying to – I know I sound like a – contradicting myself, but I'm not trying to take anything on his accomplishments or his achievements. I'm just from perspective. Where do we put him as far as all-time greats? Seriously. And Eli's got Super Bowl. Just like BJ has two titles. I mean, Eli Manning is one of the great backs of all time. It's the same amount of titles as his brother. Same amount as Big Ben. More than Aaron Rodgers. More than Brock. Same amount as John Elway. Excuse me. Same thing with BJ. So, you know, you look at who he BJ's great is doesn't come from who he beat. It's more so like Anderson Silva. You can't look at necessarily the resume of fighters that he beat, but look at how he beat them to find greatness. And not to go that route, you could definitely say, you know what, BJ is certainly one of them then. Greats, that is. Because he didn't necessarily beat great fighters throughout his career. But the way that he beat guys, submitting matches when Matt Hughes would look to be unstoppable. Good beat down and submitting guys like Joe Stevenson. Just brutalizing Sean Sherk and Diego Sanchez and Keith Fulton. Being one of the hardest hitters. One of the toughest guys to ever take down. A guy who, to my recollection, doesn't have any submission losses. Kim is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt in 3 years. Won a world champion in grappling. I mean, a man is just a freak of nature. But, you know, I just have to wonder, when I look at his career, where to rank him among all-time greats. Look, me personally, and I know he's Hawaiian, I'm Hawaiian, I should be sticking up for my island, brother, but I just can't out there amongst the greats. He's behind a lot of guys in front of him. He's behind Hughes, even. And Matt Hughes is 1-2 against BJ. So, you know, again, I like to get your guys' opinion and input and feedback. Where do you put BJ Penn? I'm going to post it on my wall on Twitter after the show. Check it out. KLUA11, KLUA1. I'm also going to put it on Facebook on my sports page. That's All Things Sports. On Facebook, All Things Sports. But his opponent, Yair Rodriguez, who's the winner of the Ultimate Fighter Latin America, he's ranked 10th in the UFC's featherweight division right now. He's a young guy. You know, he's a young guy. 20 years old, born in Mexico, now Chicago. And, you know, he's a black man, Taekwondo. Man, oh, man, look, let me tell you something. This guy's 8-1. And in his UFC record, hold on, let me just pull it up real quick. He's undefeated in the UFC right now. He's 5-0 in the UFC. But let me tell you guys, Yair Rodriguez, if you guys want – type in Yair Rodriguez on YouTube and look at his highlights. This guy, he used that black belt to a T with his kicks, his jumping roundhouses, his spinning soccer kick he does. I mean, it's amazing to see this guy go out there. And really, again, he's part of that new wave fighters who are bringing something different to the table. Something that someone like BJ may not be used to seeing. His KO flying head kick out of Andre Fili at UFC 1 last year, amazing. Just type in Yair Rodriguez or Rodriguez versus Fili, F-I-L-I, and you're going to get one of the best knockouts of all time. And it was actually up for knockout of the year from last year. So Yair Rodriguez is somebody who's looking to put biggest name to date on his belt. He's certainly going to have a chance to go out there and prove himself that, you know what, I'm a top 10 division, I'm one of the best, and I'll beat one of the best, one of the legends here. He may not be in his prime, and he may not be, you know, the BJ Penn of old, but I earned a victory over him, and I can move forward, get myself bigger match on from here. He's still got to go out there and prove it, but he certainly has the stand up skills to do so, the kicking, he's improving on his wrestling, working with Jackson Wink out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the coaches there that have gone to Chicago him out. So he's certainly looking to improve his all-around game, to really go out there and put not only his name, but Mexican fighters themselves on the map. We got Cain Velasquez, who's a former heavyweight, being Anthony Pettis, Gilbert Melendez, Diego Sanchez. He won't be the first, but he's looking to certainly be a part of the guys who are like trying to push the Latin influence on mixed martial arts, Latin America or Latin spirit. They love combat sports, boxing. I mean, they're the biggest fans in boxing. They're trying to get that same fan wave to get crossover mixed martial arts as well, to be big there. And if they, you know, the shows they put on in Mexico, this is in Phoenix, Arizona, big Hispanic population. They're looking for an awesome turnout. So it'll be fun. Also on the card, you're going to have in the co-main event, Joe Lozon, with jiu-jitsu practitioners in the UFC. He's taking on Marcin Hield. That should be an interesting matchup, especially for Lozon. You know, he's another guy, always exciting. I think he's tied for the most performance of the night awards in history. That just lets you know that Joe Lozon is however in a boring fight. So be sure to check him out as well. Court McGee on Ben Saunders at welterweight. That's going to be an interesting match. And it's, if you're looking at the pre card, this card right here, UFC Fight Night, this is going to be on Fox Sports 1. So you guys can definitely don't have any reason not to watch it. The prelims, the headline of the prelims is going to be Draga taking on Sergio Pettis. Anthony Pettis' young brother currently has looked good in UFC, so be sure to check him out. He's only 23 years old, 14 in career, so he's got a promising career. He's riding a 2-5 streak right now, looking to make it 3. We'll see if he can be successful in that. Also, on the prelim card of the prelim card. It may sound confusing, but the UFC, where they do the prelim card on the, where they have fights on UFC Fight Pass, then the prelim cards on Fox Sports 1, then the main card. The headline of the prelim card on UFC Fight Pass, it will be featuring Jocelyn Liburga. Yes, I do. That is how you pronounce it. Yes. Liburga. She is taking on Nina Ansarov. Now, Nina is the girlfriend of UFC bantamweight champion Amanda Nunes. She obviously trains at American Top down in Florida. She's a third-degree black belt in Taekwondo, purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Her isn't impressive at 6-5, but she does have 4 knockouts. That girl can back a punch. Her four of her 5 losses have come by decision. Sometimes with those, obviously, you know, it could go either way. In the UFC, she's 0-2. Both of those losses came via decision. So, you know, she hasn't fought since last year. She's obviously training with Amanda Nunes, getting her ready for her career and the push. You know, so Nina's certainly looking to ride that momentum from her team, from the success that they have. From Amanda being 3-0 last year, a win championship, over Romero going out there and getting an impressive knockout via UFC 205. Like Chris Weidman, Juana Young, check with them at times as well. He did last year, defending her title twice. So Nina's certainly looking to back into that winner's column here and start off 2017 with a bang. Be on the lookout. This, you know, this card might have the power, but just like with UFC 206, it may not have the headlines that you're looking for, the headliners, rather, that you're looking for. They delivered one of the best fight cards of the year last year. I know, I criticized this, that it should have been on TV, but you know what? If I looked at it on paper and going into it, that's how I felt. And, I'm not going to apologize for expressing how I felt about it. I'm just glad that the fight card ended up being better than what I was expecting or anticipating going into it. So, in that type of scenario, I don't mind at all. But, once again, guys, show's about wrapping up, so I do want to make sure that I take, I do want to take the time to thank Jessica Ruiz for stepping for it again. I'm so sorry, and I do apologize. We want to get a better connection. Hopefully, next time around, I definitely have Bugs and Kings worked out, so it sounds better there. But definitely thank you to her and put her in her fight next week, and everyone else on that card as well. Also, want to say, guys, thank you guys for tuning in to Inside the Octagon. You can listen to the show every Monday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific. 6 standard time, and also the podcast as I post on my fourth page, All Things Sports on Facebook. Be sure to go on Facebook, type in All Things Sports, give the fan page, the fourth page, a like and follow there. Always trying to post good and exciting stuff there. And I'm also going to put it on Twitter, so you guys can find me at Twitter at KLUA11. So I'll be posting there as well. Again, I am going to post the BJ Penn question right here, so you can listen to the archive of it. So I would like some feedback from you guys, get the chance to. And, you know, look, it's 2017. It's a big year going on. Last year, we had a lot of big fights. We also had a lot of scandals going on. The Brock Lesnar and your man, John Jones, all three having come up John Jones, Brock Lesnar, Yoel Romero was three of the, not the only three, but three of the main fighters who came up. Flag USADA, Cyborg came in later on in the year. So, you know, hopefully the fight get it together this year with their supplements, even if you're not doing anything wrong. Because let's understand something, before I close the show, I just want to touch on this. Just because a fighter fails a USADA test doesn't necessarily mean that they're cheating. Because if you guys are aware of how supplement products are made and distributed, you also know that these companies who make it, they use the same warehouse for making other products as well. So you can always have residue left over from previous products that you made. And then when you're trying to make your supplements, that get mixed in and you have tainted supplements as well. And making your own supplements, you know, these things are not highly regulated and they're not highly tested, sure that they're not putting anything illegal in their brand. So once again, naive enough to say that these guys aren't trying to find ways to get that extra edge possibly by cheating, but I'm also not quick to just throw them to the fire and just say they're nothing but juiced up steroid users. They're only cheating. There are times where guys do get a raw deal. So make sure that you try to learn all the facts first before you just take away all the hard work that these guys and women have put into their. Hopefully this year we get the big fights. Hopefully Rossi comes back. Hopefully John Jones comes back. Hopefully Cyborg comes back. We know Conor McGregor is going to come back. When and where, that is going to be interesting. He's a lightweight champion at UFC 209. Is posted right now as a co-main event. Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on Tony Ferguson. The winner of that is definitely going to get a title shot at Conor McGregor going forward. So hopefully we get that settled. The UFC might try to go to Russia, so if Khabib could get a victory over Tony, hey, Khabib, Russia, you know, McGregor, Ireland for the title, that's nothing but old right there. Also, hopefully we return of such of a fighter by the name of Georges St-Pierre from Canada. Hopefully we get him. Hopefully Nate Diaz finally accepts the fight and he gets back into the cage. Well, hopefully we see Nate Diaz comes back. I mean, UFC 209 only makes sense to have, if not both Diaz on it, right? We'll see if the UFC can come as a fight and are willing to accept it. So we'll see how that turns out. But once the Instagram, I want to thank Jessica Ruiz for calling in. Again, I do apologize for how it sounds. I do want to thank my man that put me on to this, James King, for giving me here on the airwaves to share my passion and love for mixed martial arts. And once again, you guys for listening to tune in. You guys can check me out, Twitter, Alu11, Facebook, All Things Sports. And look, I look forward to enjoying these fights. And real quick, real quick, unfortunately, my Raiders did not win, and we got kicked out the playoffs. We're 12-4, childbirth after 14 years of misery. Hey, I'll take that any other week, any time. It is what it is. Better luck next season. It's my side out there. But until you come around, I'll talk to you guys then. Peace. Oh, you know what? Not a piece. I got about 15 seconds left. So I just want to plug in one time. Inside the Octagon, brought to you by the Sports Career Podcast. The Octagon, you guys can listen to every Monday from 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Follow me on Facebook, All Things Sports, on Twitter, at KLU11. Until next time, guys, peace.